treat her like a lady. Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose at number 8 this week at Moved Up 7. This is Casey on American Top 40. We've got a couple of listeners in Utah and Maryland asking almost the same question. Which record stayed on the charts the longest? And which record stayed in the top 40 the longest? Well, it's the same answer for both. And we'll have that answer in the next quarter hour. 3 hours once a week with American Top 40, and you know where your favorite songs are in the national music scene. My name's Casey, on with a countdown on our way to a new number one song in the nation. Number 7 again this week, here's Donny Osmond and Sweet and Innocent.
It's too late.
There's one of the big sellers this week in America. At number 6, it moved up 3, Carole King and It's Too Late. Now, let me take care of two questions with one answer. Martin Vanesky of Rockville, Maryland, wrote to ask which record has stayed on the charts the longest. And Terry Hill of South Ogden, Utah, wants to know which record remained in the top 40 the longest. Well, the same disc holds both these records. An instrumental by Leroy Anderson and his orchestra stayed in the top 40 for 40 weeks in a row. It was a song called Blue Tango. Happened 20 years ago. Now back to the present and on with the countdown. Three Dog Night and Joy to the World.
Number 5.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Now the 14 best-selling songs in America and counting down. My name's Casey Kasem. This is the third hour of AT40.
Number 14.
I got a letter from two sisters in Washington, D.C. who disagree about whether Donny Osmond's brothers are on his solo hit single, Sweet and Innocent. Well, that song comes up right after this one, and we'll settle the question. In the meantime, you're definitely hearing all 5 Osmonds on this song called Double Lovin'. Moving up one position this week to number 14, the Osmonds and Double Lovin'. Well, there's a question waiting to be answered about the number 13 song in the nation this week. Joan Schulz, who hears the show on WPGC in Washington, D.C., thinks that Donny Osmond did his current hit single completely solo. But her sister thinks that some of his brothers may be on the record with Donny. Well, we called the Osmonds to check it out. But I want to give the Schultz sisters one more listen before I tell them who's right. And so let's listen to Sweet and Innocent. Number 13 this week, Donny Osmond, Sweet and Innocent. Obviously a solo arrangement, but his big brothers, Alan, Wayne, Merrill, and Jay, are right there singing backup. Joan Schulz, your sister's right.
Casey's Coast to Coast.
A 5-man vocal group based in Detroit. At number 9 this week, moving up 2, the Dramatics, In the Rain. Here's a letter from Maryland with a really tough question. It says, Dear Casey, what was the most controversial song ever to become a hit? Well, how do you pick from among songs about insanity, Vietnam atrocities, suicide, and cannibalism? Details in 15 minutes.
Casey's Coast to Coast.
Dropping 3 this week to number 7. Paul Simon, Mother and Child Reunion. This is Casey Kasem on American Top 40. And now let's answer that letter about controversial hit songs. It's from Vic and Mary Schmidt, who live just outside of Washington, D.C. in Silver Spring, Maryland. Well, the AT40 staff couldn't agree at all on just one song being the most controversial. In fact, we ended up with a list of 7. Back in the 40s, a hit called Gloomy Sunday supposedly caused a man to take its suggestion and commit suicide, and most stations quit playing it. In 61, the Everlys had a top 10 hit called Ebony Eyes that had to do with a fatal plane crash at a time when there actually were a lot of aircraft accidents. Then Barry McGuire started the socio-political style of controversy in 1965 with Eve of Destruction. In 66, a lot of criticism came down on a song called They're Coming to Take Me Away, Ha Ha, because of the way it dealt with mental illness. Then in 1969, Jose Feliciano caused a flap with his version of the Star Spangled Banner. Last year, 2 hits qualified as controversial. Timothy by the Boys was about human cannibalism, and the battle hymn of Lieutenant Kelly needs no explanation. It didn't get airplay in much of the nation, but it was a certified million seller. And that's the story of controversial hits. Take your pick, Vic and Mary, and thanks for your letter. Now on with the countdown. At number 39, their first week on, that's The Who and The Relay. A listener in Washington, D.C. wants to know whether any act has ever recorded two different songs with the same title and made the charts with both of them. The answer is yes. It was done by a group that came in with the first wave of the British invasion of 64. Details are coming up.
KC's Coast to Coast.
The Temptations with a former number one song, Papa Was a Rolling Stone. This is Casey Kasem in Hollywood, and now let's answer the letter from the Capitol. Dear Casey, has any act ever recorded two different songs with the same title and made the charts with both of them? Well, the letter is signed Melvin West, Washington, D.C. Melvin, there have been many cases on the charts of different songs having the same title, but we've only been able to come up with one instance where one act has hit with two different songs having the same title. The act that did it was a five-man group that came in on the first wave of the British invasion back in 64. It was in that year that they reached number 15 with a song called Everybody Knows. Then 3 years later, they peaked at 43 with a completely different song, which had nothing in common with the first one, except the title, which was exactly the same. Everybody Knows. The group was a Dave Clark Five, and it's the only act we've been able to find who've reached the charts with two different songs having the same title. Melvin, that was a tough one. Thanks for your letter anyway. Now on with the countdown.
Number 37.
Chuck Berry and Reelin' and Rockin'. Second week on the chart, moving up three to 37. He's one of a kind. He's King Soul James Brown. And I got ants in my pants. Second week on the chart at number 30 on American Top 40. Speaking of soul, a listener in Washington, D.C. wants to know if any white artists have ever hit number one on the soul chart. You bet they have. Details coming up.
KC's Coast to Coast.
That move from 33 to 29 this week. Eagles with Peaceful, Easy Feeling. This is Casey Kasem in Hollywood. And now let's answer that question about the charts and race. Raymond Booker of Washington, D.C. writes, to ask if any white artists have ever hit number one in the soul chart. Well, Ray, the answer is yes. Hits by white artists have been number one in the soul chart or rhythm and blues chart a total of 23 times. The first time it happened was 21 years ago with a singer called Johnny Ray and a song titled Cry. The most recent was 9 years ago when Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs did it with Sugar Shack. But the white artist who has had the most number one songs in the soul chart is Elvis Presley. In the middle 50s, he made it four times. Ray, good question. Thanks for your letter. Now on with the countdown.
Number 28.
What a rocker this one is. From England, the Moody Blues, whose biggest hit to date has been Nights in White Satin. They took it to number 3 last year. Five-man group debuting at number 28 with I'm Just a Singer, a rock and roll singer.
In the playground in my mind.
Week at number 14. This week it took a 20-point drop. That's Clint Holmes and Playground in My Mind. I have a letter here from a listener in Maryland who thought it would be wild if Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly made the number one record of the year, because that would mean she'd have that honor 2 years in a row. And he goes on to ask if that's ever happened before. I got the answer coming up.
Casey's Coast to Coast.
The highest debuting record of the week coming in at number 33 in American Top 40. That's War with Gypsy Man. Now let's get to that letter from Alan Brown of Suitland, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. And he says, wouldn't it be wild if Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly made the number one record of the year? Because that would mean she'd have that honor 2 years in a row. And he goes on to ask if that's ever happened before. Well, the answer to that, Alan, is no. Two acts have had number one records of the year, but not consecutively. Percy Faith had the number one record of 1953 with the song from Moulin Rouge, and he did it again in 1960 with the theme from A Summer Place. Then the Beatles pulled it off in 64 with You'll Remember, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and again in 68 with Hey Jude. So if Roberta hits number one again this year, it will be a first. Thanks for your letter, Al. And now on with the countdown, and 11-year-old Foster Silvers with Misdemeanor.
Number 32.
At number 39 in our countdown of the 40 biggest hits in the USA this week, from Sweden, that was ABBA and Waterloo. I have a letter from a listener in Washington, D.C., who wants to know if any white artists have ever hit number one on the soul chart. And he says, if so, who did it first, who did it last, and which white artist had the most number one soul songs? That's a tall order, but we got details coming up.
KC's Coast to Coast. Yeah, yeah.
Last week at 26, now falling 38. Chicago with I've Been Searching So Long. Now, let me answer that question about the soul charts that was sent in by a listener who asks if any white artists have ever hit number one on the soul chart. Well, the answer is yes. Hits by white artists have been number one on the soul or the rhythm and blues chart a total of 23 times. The first time it happened was 22 years ago with a song called Cry by Johnny Ray. Now, the most recent was 11 years ago when Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs did it with Sugar Shack. But the white artist who's had the most number one songs in the soul chart is Elvis Presley. In the middle 50s, he made it four times. Good question. Now on with the countdown and the queen of the soul charts.
Number 37.
Bobby Womack wrote this song. Aretha Franklin sings it. I'm in love. Gross at number 10 with the first of the 10 hottest, and it's called Shannon. I have a letter here from a listener in Maryland who wants to know if there's ever been a song that was number one on the Billboard charts for the entire year without ever making it to number one on the weekly chart. Well, you know, it's happened just once in chart history with a novelty smash back in 1965, a smash that beat out competition from the Rolling Stones and the Four Tops. I have details coming up.
KC's Coast to Coast.
Rat McLean move up 10 notches, biggest mover of the week, up to number 9 with Happy Days. Well, now let's take care of that letter about number one songs. It comes from Charles Hamlet in Lexington Park, Maryland. Charles wants to know if there's ever been a song that was number one on the Billboard charts for the entire year without ever making it to number one on the weekly chart. Well, Charles, in all of the chart history, that's happened only one time. Our researchers found back in 1965 a novelty song that never got higher than number 2 on the weekly charts, and it came in as the number 1 song of the year. Here's how it happened. The song peaked at number 2 in June of 65. Then it hung in there in the top 10 for 9 long weeks, and it stayed on the Hot 100 for a total of 18 weeks. And when Billboard magazine tallied up all those points at the end of the year, that song had enough to beat out competition from huge hits like I Can't Help Myself by the Four Tops and Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones, which had both reached number one in the weekly charts. The song that topped them and became Billboard's number one song of the year in 1965 was Woolly Bully. Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs, remember? Good question, Charles. Thanks for writing.
Now on with the countdown.
Maxine Nightingale, 23-year-old living in London. Her first big hit is Right Back Where We Started From. Was Made for Dancing at number 10 for a couple of weeks, this week falling to 26 on American Top 40. That was Leif Garrett. A listener in Maryland wants to know which family has produced the most Top 40 recording acts and wonders if it's the Gibbs. Well, it's not. The answer is an American family who have hit the Top 40 in 5 different combinations. Details coming up.
Casey's Coast to Coast.
Tonight I'm gonna break.
Poco is the group. Their first hit song, and they've been around for many, many years, since 1968, is Crazy Love. They move up 3 to 25. Well, now, let's answer that letter from Maryland. A listener named Melody Mitchell in Silver Springs writes, Dear Casey, over the years, I've noticed that many families have played important roles on the record charts, with members hitting the top 40 in different configurations. Well, I'd like to know which family has produced the most top 40 recording acts. Is it the Gibbs? Melody, it's no wonder you're guessing the Gibbs, because members of the Gibb family have been all over the charts for a year and a half now, as the Bee Gees, or with Andy and Robin hitting solo. But the champs, as a lot of you may already be aware, are the Osmonds of Utah. That family's been represented in the top 40 in five different configurations. First were the five brothers as the Osmonds, then Donnie Solo, then little Jimmy Solo, and he's not so little anymore, then Marie Solo, and finally Donnie and Marie as a duo. Five different recording acts all hitting the top 40, and all are the children of Olive and George Osmond. And there's your answer, Melody. Thanks for the letter. Now on with the countdown.
Number 24.
Here's a big moving record in the countdown. Last week it debuted at 38. This week it moves up 14 notches to 24. Amy Stewart caught a hold of a hot one in Knock on Wood.
From now on, you won't be someone that I used to love.
Natalie Cole on American Top 40. At number 21, moving up two notches with Someone That I Used to Love. A listener in Virginia wants to know what husband and wife team has hit number one the most times in the rock era. The answer's coming up.
Casey's, Casey's, Casey's Coast to Coast.
He's gonna shine.
Number 20 in the countdown, the Pointer Sisters and He's So Shy. This is Casey on American Top 40 in Hollywood, and now let's answer that question about husband and wife teams in the Top 40. Comes in from Gene Sauka in Arlington, Virginia. Now, Gene wants to know, what husband and wife team has hit number one the most times in the rock era? Well, Sonny and Cher hit once as a duo with I Got You, Babe. Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. had a number one with You Don't Have to Be a Star. Paul and Linda McCartney recorded as a duo, and they had a number one hit with Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. But leading the field of married duos hitting number one is the couple who hit twice. They hit with Love Will Keep Us Together and Do That to Me One More Time. And that would be the Captain and Tennille. And there's your answer, Gene. Thanks for writing. Now, on with the countdown.
Number 19.
This week, Billy Joel climbs two notches to 19 with Don't Ask Me Why. Sonny Charles with his first solo hit debuting at number 40, Put It in a Magazine. A listener wants to know if any recording act has ever had a number one album of the year with their first album. Well, just this past year, the English group Asia did it. And the first and only other act to do it was a lot of people's choice as the greatest American rock guitarist in history. He died in 1970. Details coming up.
The hits from coast to coast.
Barry Manilow on American Top 40 at number 39 again this week with Memory. Now, let's answer that question about number one albums of the year. It comes from Lisa Chastain in Laurel, Maryland. She wants to know if any recording act's debut album has ever been the number one album of the year. Well, it's happened only twice in the rock era, Lisa. Just last year, a new grouping of English rock musicians released their first album. It shot to the top of the charts, spending 9 weeks at number one, and became Billboard's number one album of 1982. The LP's title and the group's name, the same. Asia. Now, the only other debut album to become a number one album of the year was by a famous American guitarist, one of the greatest rock guitarists of all time. In the Rolling Stone Record Guide, Michael Gilmore wrote, he was the most innovative and momentous instrumentalist of the 60s. End of quote. In 1968, this guitarist with his trio released his debut album, Are You Experienced? The LP climbed only as high as number five, but spent enough weeks on the chart and sold enough copies to be named number one album of the year. It was the first album by the late Jimi Hendrix. So there's your answer, Lisa. Only two debut albums have become number one albums of the year. In 1968, Are You Experienced by the late Jimi Hendrix, and Asia by Asia just last year. Thanks for writing in. Now, on with the countdown.
Number 38.
The latest hit by that very successful Australian band from Sydney is at number 38 for the third consecutive week. It's Two Less Lonely People in the World by Air Supply.
Love is driving me crazy.
Your Love Is Driving Me Crazy. Sammy Hagar on American Top 40 at number 13 in the countdown, moving up a notch. A listener in Maryland wants to know, what recording act has had the shortest name? Well, there's a tie between two acts. Both had one-letter names, the 13th letter of the alphabet and the 17th letter of the alphabet. Details coming up.
The hits from coast to coast.
Must be something inside.
Adam Ant with a song he took to number one in England and Australia. At number 12 on American Top 40 for the third consecutive week, Goody Two Shoes. Now, let's answer that question about the names of recording acts. Comes from Francine Vernon in Laurel, Maryland, and she wants to know, what recording act has had the shortest name? Well, there's a tie between two acts. Both had one-letter names, and both acts only hit the top 40 once. First, there's a six-man band from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. They hit the chart once in 1977 with a song called Dancin' Man. That act named itself for the 17th letter of the alphabet, Q. Then there's an Englishman who billed himself as a one-man group. He hit the chart once in 1979 and went all the way to number one with a song called Pop Music. He's the act named for the 13th letter of the alphabet, M. So there's your answer, Francine. The recording acts with the shortest names are Q and M. Thanks for writing in. Now, on with the countdown.
Number 11.
Here's the English band that features 30-year-old American lead singer and songwriter Chrissy Hynde. Climbing eight big notches this week, The Pretenders and Back on the Chain Gang. Somewhere along a high road, the air began to turn cold. She said she missed her home. I headed on alone. At number 31, moving up two notches, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band with Roll Me Away. A listener wants to know if any act has ever hit number one with their first chart album and never made the album chart again. Well, two acts did that. An organ player called Crazy Otto and a super group featuring Steve Winwood and Eric Clapton. Details coming up.
Casey's Coast to Coast.
She works hard for the money. Donna Summer moving from 34 to 30 in our countdown with her 18th top 40 hit. Now on AT40, let's answer that question about number one albums. Adina Bedell of Columbia, Maryland wants to know if any act has ever hit number one with their first chart album and never made the album chart again. The answer is yes. Two recording acts have done that in the rock era. The first was an organ player whose real name is Fritz Schulzreichel. The only album he charted with hit number one back in 1955, and it was an instrumental album titled Crazy Otto by Crazy Otto. That was Mr. Schulzreichel's pseudonym. Now, the only other act to hit number one with their only chart album did it in 1969. They were the supergroup that starred Steve Winwood, Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, and Rick Gretsch. And they hit number one with the only album they ever released. The group and the album were both called Blind Faith. And there's your answer, Adina. In the rock era, only two acts have hit number one with their only chart album, Crazy Otto and Blind Faith. Thanks for sending in the question. Now, on with the countdown.
Number 29.
In their third week in the countdown, the English band The Flock of Seagulls climb a notch to 29 with Wishing. Rick Springfield moving up two notches third week on the chart with Human Touch. A listener in Maryland wants to know how many female duos have hit the top 40. Well, female duos are the rarest of all duos. In the rock era, we've only had six. The earliest of them hit with a song called No More, and the most recent with a song called Sukiyaki. Details coming up.
Casey's Coast to Coast.
This week's biggest moving record, moving from 38 to 29, second week on the chart, Tell Her About It by Billy Joel. Now, let's answer that question about female duos. Laura Hutchins of Silver Spring, Maryland wants to know how many female duos have made the top 40 in the rock era. Well, female duos are the rarest. Since the rock era began back in 1955, a total of 122 different duos have hit the top 40.
That's not counting duets sung by two solo artists who got together to record a song or two. I'm talking about 122 regular duos who have hit the top 40. Now, 52 of them have been male-female duos. 64 of them were duos of two men. And only 6 of those 122 duos were two women. The first rock-era female duo hit back in 1955 with the song titled No More. They were the Dijon Sisters. Another hit big in 1956 with two songs, Tonight You Belong to Me and Gonna Get Along Without You Now. They were Patience and Prudence. Another female duo hit in 1956 with Eddie My Love, the Teen Queens. In 1963, a female duo hit with You Don't Have to Be a Baby to Cry, and they were the Caravels. A Japanese female duo hit in 1979 with Kiss in the Dark, and they were Pink Lady. And finally, in 1981, the 6th female duo hit with their remake of Sukiyaki, the duo A Taste of Honey. And there's your answer, Laura. There were 6 female duos to hit the top 40 in the rock era. Thanks for writing in. Now on with the countdown.
Number 28.
This week, the third top 40 hit from Journey's album Frontiers climbed 3 notches to 28, and it's titled After the Fall.